cliffcentral.com. Fashion Lab on cliffcentral.com.
Hi, and welcome to Fashion Lab from a beautiful Johannesburg. Thank you for tuning in. From me, Morag Steyn, your Glamour host. We're going to be rolling over to our fashion designer exclusive in a freezing cold Lisbon with our host, Liz Agumbu.
Greetings to all of you who are tuned in, and welcome to the Fashion Lab show. My name is Liz Agumbu Regisford, your host and your girl right next door, even though I'm not so much next door today. But thank you so much for tuning in to the Fashion Lab radio show, the first fashion business radio show to go live in the world. And we normally hold it down in Johannesburg, but we're holding it down today in Lisbon. It's been an amazing time out here. I've been able to connect with some really cool fashion brands and fashion stakeholders within the industry. And on today's show, we have a special fashion brand / fashion designer exclusive, which goes down a month. And this is where we get to tap into the real narratives behind some of the most successful brands within the African continent / diaspora, all the way. We're joined by a very special guest today, who I tracked down in Lisbon. And it's important to have this designer exclusive, because what we want to do is enlighten you who are tuned in, enlighten the industry to be able to know what's actually going on in the diaspora and how we can actually make some different decisions to kind of move ahead. You got to do things differently to achieve different results, and that's why we're here. Now, we are joined by Morag Steyn, who's our internationally accredited beauty consultant / makeup artist. She'll be glamming up the show with her glam up for a dose of makeup and beauty tips. We're also joined by our New York contributor, Edgy Benson, with his echoes from New York. Edgy runs NU New York, a fashion services company based in New York, and he specializes in sourcing services to fashion designers and fashion houses. Now, a quick reminder for those who are tuned in for the very first time, my favorite segment on this show is called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? So feel free to share with us your who's and your why's. That is the segment I call our red glass of wine. So feel free to join us and let's unwind after this interesting conversation today. Now, keep your tweets coming. We're on Fashion Lab AF on Twitter, and share with us our thoughts around avenues the industry could be able to use to be able to move ahead. We're talking fashion designer exclusive. Obviously, we're going to be speaking to this guest, and we'd also love to just hear from you, share your thoughts and what you think. Now, allow me to just go straight to the point and introduce our guest today. 5 years ago, economist and entrepreneur Rui Silva established Angola's first RBS store, through which he has obviously sold leftovers of brands, including our retail giant Zara. Silva was born in Malawi to a Mozambican mom and a Portuguese father, moved to Angola at the age of 28, and upon receiving a job offer, the rest is literally history. After leaving his job, he delved into the world of entrepreneurship, subsequently finding this company that is called RBS. I don't want to kiss and tell, I don't want to give too much, but allow me to introduce our guest today, Rui Silva. Rui, welcome to the show.
Thank you for opportunity, Lisa. Thank you, Kenya. Welcome to Lisbon.
Thank you very much. Now, Rui, your story is, I literally, like I said, when we were having a conversation earlier, I describe you as a mogul, because I think what you're doing is very admirable, and it's amazing to see this sort of consistency coming from an industry that sometimes we say is dying, but obviously you've always found ways to pump it up, and it's definitely not dying for Rui Silva. Can we just talk about, for obviously our listeners who are tuned in who've never heard of you, and you know, maybe are just only learning you today, could we talk about just who is Rui? Let's just first of all just a nice introduction of who Rui Silva is and where the birth of RBS came alive.
Okay. My name is Rui Silva. I'm born in Malawi. I grew up in Portugal, study economy. I moved Angola 12 years ago and start to work another company, final 1 year I decide move. I decide buy the another company and start the business. 3 years five, six years ago, and coming to Lisbon and visit my family and check another business. I know the important people from to Spain. It's a friend, the owner, the Zara, Mr. Ortega. He showed me the possibility send the clothes, Zara clothes for Angola. It's a big business. It's a good brand. In Angola, it's very, very good brand. And 6 years ago, I buy the first container. 50,000 pieces one container.
That was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So now hold on, I want to just take a pause there, Rui, before we go further. Is it your love for fashion? What drove you into this? Did you love clothes to a point where you decided, actually, I love clothes so much, or I love fashion so much that I'm going to be a fashion entrepreneur? Or what is it that drove you? Because fashion, as much as is a beautiful glitz and glam sort of element in our lives, it's also a business. And you're really running this thing the business that it is. What is it? Why did you get into why? What's the point? What was the point?
First time. This is a big opportunity because you buy leftovers, you send for Angola, you buy a low price, a cheap price, and you sell a white price. It's a big, big business. After, 1 year after, I understand, I study my customers, I understand what you want buying. I understand what do you need change the clothes for this market. It's a different brand. It's a different fitting, cord, cut, and I know the Zara. I know the industry. I know the fabrics. Now we need change something. I change the fitting.
So after the 6 years of buying Zara, you're basically saying you went in, found out that there was a demand,
yes.
Find out that this is a good business model,
yes.
That you want to continue,
yes.
Found out that the girls in, or the consumer in Angola was having a sort of different body type,
yes.
And therefore you had to also tweak the cuts and stuff.
Yes.
Okay, and then what?
After, I think I need to change something. We need... Be different. To be different is important. You have a good school. Zara is a good school. It's the best school of the world. But you need more something. Okay. I'm moved for Portugal three months. I'm study fabrics. I'm study industry. I'm study models. Okay, we need to change this. Put my brand, RBS, create my brand, RBS. First time, my first production, this is a shirts. I produce 900 pieces. I sell in 3 days.
900 shirts,
yeah.
In 3 days.
3 days.
And that was in Angola?
Yeah, in Angola. First production, I have pants, trousers, 1,500.
1,500?
Yes, I sell in 6 days.
1,500.
Yeah.
So this is your first time to now introduce the RBS brand. You produced
Angola,
in Angola. You produced your 900 shirts, sold in 3 days, and then produced your 1,500 pants.
Pants.
And sold in what?
Six days. Yeah.
What year was this?
Because.
What year was this? What year?
Three years ago. 3 years.
3 years ago?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like 2014?
Yeah. 14, no, 13. Huh?
13.
Yeah, 13. Okay. 13.
So was this one store, what was the store situation? Did you just have one store where you just produce everything, get it into Angola in one shop, and then everything would go?
No. We have 7 shops in Angola directly. We have a partners. Another province. I have shops in Luanda, in the center. But we have another shops, not directly, but we have franchising, another province, Benguela, Wambo, another place.
Provinces.
Yeah.
So when you started with how many shops?
First time, 2 shops.
Mm-hmm.
First time.
And then how did you graduate? How did your two shops change into?
After 6 months, 1 year, finally 7 shops.
So now you have 7 shops in Angola.
Yeah.
Where else do you have shops?
What?
What other countries or what other cities are your shops?
This moment we have in Angola, Luanda, in Ghana, Accra, in Namibia, Windhoek. We sell for Mozambique, we sell for Mauritania.
Wow.
Yeah.
In
Kinshasa, we sell, but I don't have shops here.
Okay.
We sell in France, in Portugal, in the little quantity for America.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very impressive. Now, I mean, I want to now talk about fast fashion. And for those who are tuned in, again, you've heard us have these conversations around fast fashion and the fact that we're not really getting it right here in the continent. And when I say we're not getting it right, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It just means that our back end is not as strong because for Rui, you personally, for you to be able to, for the RBS brand to produce 900 shirts, sell them in 3 days and still continue producing and still be on top of your game is quite impressive. But obviously production is a lot of industry professional challenges that we go through. I'm sure a lot of brands can agree with me in the continent, those who are listening right now, that it's not an easy game. I'm a fashion brand as well, and I know exactly what it means when your stuff runs out and then you look at the CMT, which is your production, and you think, oh my God, what's going to happen and how am I going to keep the fire burning? How am I going to keep the customers satisfied? How am I going to keep the production flowing so that there's always stock? Otherwise, you lose momentum and you lose clientele. What is your production trick? Do you want to share any tip, trick? Or we don't have to know everything, but the idea is, what are you doing so differently to be able to help you keep? You're literally on your toes. I feel like you're literally on your toes. What are you doing when it comes to the production challenges and just being able to stay on top of it?
This is a big challenge because you need all the time, you need to put another things, another clothes, a new fashion. Fast fashion is not easy because it's a very pressure. All the time you need a new models, you need a new fabrics, you need a new ideas. You need have a big machine, you know what I'm saying? And people, this moment, all the world, people like a new models all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You need a create. You need a study. You need understanding your customers. You need create a new life, a new dream. Mm. You know.
Every day.
Yeah, every day, new dream, new dream, new dream, new dream. This is my work. Creating a dream.
Constantly.
Yeah.
But you know, Rui, you know that in Africa, for those of us who produce in Africa, I'm sure you can also agree, is you can have new dreams every day. But the problem is, if you have new dreams, but the people are not working, yeah, your new dreams are just in the parking lot, because everything is in a parking lot. Everything is on a queue. By the time your new dream comes, the other dream even like died before it even came to life, you know? So I think the challenges of being able to produce or have other production machines, like you said, it's a it's a machine that is literally and constantly running. Is not a very easy machine. But anyway, for those who are tuned in, I'm talking to Rui Silva of RBS. He's definitely what I call the fashion mogul because of where he's come from, his journey from sort of just starting with like literally nothing, coming up with a dream like Martin Luther, and then like just taking over the space and just running and constantly on his toes. Because I think one of the things I find admirable is the fact that you're there. You, when you start, it's beautiful. When you're in it, it's beautiful. But how to continue to sustain it so that it continues to go on and on and on is what is really, to me, is really where I've got to take my hat off and say, you know, congratulations for what you're doing so far. For those who are tuned in, we're on Twitter on Fashion Lab AF. Share your thoughts with us. And also, obviously, we'd love to hear from you if you have anything else you wanna share when it comes to, you know, this conversation and this designer exclusive with Rui Silva. Now, you are today, they say, RBS is Angola's leading fast fashion retailer with a total of 7 mono-brand stores spread across Angolan cities, including Luanda, Benguela, and all of the other spaces that you mentioned. What are you, you've spoken Ghana, Namibia, Mozambique, Mauritius. How are you managing, you as one, obviously you're one brain behind it, then obviously you have to have a team. How are you managing it? How is it working? Because obviously, like you said, when a machine is on, it has to get oiled, it has to get maintenance, it has to get, for it to continue moving. And obviously that means that you have so many things happening in so many different cities in the world, in the continent, not just, actually in the world, not just the continent. How are you managing this?
I have a team in Lisbon, control producing and control another country with Angola. Okay, I have a big team in Angola. I have 100 employers in Angola. And I have a partners, another in Ghana, in Namibia. In Angola, I myself in my team. I'm working myself in my team. But another countries, we have a partners. It's more easy for me to be controlled, you know. In Portugal, it's important and big control because you're producing, you're creating, you have a big team here. I'm coming to one, I live 1 month in Portugal, I live 1 month in Angola. I'm travel all months for different countries, looking at new countries, looking at new business. Yeah, this is my life. Travel, move, and control e management. My team, my family work with me. It's more easy. My friends. And work a lot. No.
Wow, work. So now let me go back to a point that we spoke about earlier. So you started with selling Zara leftovers.
Yes.
And you found that you had a market, there was a niche, and there was consistency, and when RBS came to life, everyone was like, yay. Tell me about I've heard about it. I haven't seen your stores yet, but I've heard that each store has a very different concept when it comes to the interior of it. What is that about? What inspires that? Why? Why can't you just have the same look? Like, what is it about the interior being different for each store? I mean, it's so many stores, I think you'd probably be saving money and say, hi, John, design, everything same, finish, goodbye.
My inspiration, this is, I don't know, my inspiration. All the time, I'm wake up, all days, I'm wake up. I have a new ideas, I never knew inspiration. I have a family, I have a friends, I work for, my experience is a happy, to be happy, people like my work, people love me, my brand, this is my inspiration. In Angola, I'm a person very, very cute because people, when go to go to the street, people call me, people love me, people kiss me, people hug me. Okay, I like this. Yes.
Too much kissing in Angola.
I like this because this is your work. This is your life. You work for another guys, for people.
And they love it back.
Yes. I love when go to walking on the street, I sew my clothes and my happy guy, you know? Last year, I was in Dubai, in airport. I saw the pants, my pants. The guy told me, "This is your pants." For me, he's a happy guy. He's a good for me because this is my work, this is my life. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you get the fulfillment of people just being able. So listen, guys, I want to just say to you, because he's being very humble. So we went to this fashion week. I asked him to accompany me to some fashion event, the Moda Africa. And I literally, when we walked into the place, literally every guy is pulling him on the side saying, "I'm wearing you, I'm wearing you," whether it was shoes or a jacket or jeans. And I think that is very fulfilling, especially for a brand. You know, you work so hard, you put your soul to it, and then you see people respond to it in such an amazing way, and I'm sure that's just so calming to the heart, and it's such a blessing. Now, Rui, I want to go back to Zara because you were selling their stuff. Suddenly, RBS comes. What happened to Zara after that? did you say peace out? And what happened to the relationship?
No,
is there respect? Is there?
Yeah, we are, have the respect, continue the respect, but now for me is more easy. Sell the RBS with Zara.
Oh, with Zara?
Yes, because Zara, you know, you don't know when finished the contract. In RBS, this is my brand. This is, don't have contract, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, this is, because it's important, you have a brand, you put the marketing in your brand. You don't put the marketing in another brand. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You create your brand. You put the marketing. You promote your brand. It's more easy. And in Angola, we sell more RBS with Zara. It's more because...
It's more attractive to
the
consumer.
Because this...
Because the consumer...
RBS, the RBS... I create RBS for Angolan people. It's the same fabrics, it's the same industry. It's a different cut, it's a different fitting. It's, for me, I create for Angolan people. It's, these guys, when putting the clothes, is your number, your cut, your fitting. It's the same fabrics, it's Zara. It's the same Zara, if a different style, color.
Cuts.
Cut.
Size. So, it's interesting. So, are you in a deal where you kind of feel stuck? Are you like in a Suge Knight sort of deal? Sorry, not Suge Knight, but I'm making a joke there. So, with Zara, are you able to just also not sell them? Or is there a contract that's binding you to them to force you?
Yeah, I sell,
or are
I
you
sell
happy?
Zara too.
No, but are you happy with that idea? Or are you actually feeling like you're bound by a contract that says you can't leave Zara? You have to sell Zara.
Yeah, because... In Angola, I sell leftovers.
Yeah, but
when Zara come to Angola, official Zara,
mm-hmm.
I'm finished my business with leftovers. You know,
is official Zara in Angola?
Yeah, when coming?
No,
because
are they there yet?
I sell leftovers Zara.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah. When coming the first shop or official shop, the first clothes, I'm finished my work. I'm finished my contract. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so I have a question for you. Is Zara in Angola right now officially?
No, but coming.
Why? Because RBS is.
But coming.
Oh, it's coming.
I don't know when, but coming.
They don't tell you when.
Yes, I don't know. But
Zara needs to tell you when, because you've been doing a lot for them.
Yeah.
But tell me something. You know, Rui, what I say, and it's nothing negative, but is it in Angola that the consumer is still the type of consumer who looks at Africa as African brands as inferior and then foreign brands as superior, meaning that if RBS, I don't know, like, what is the consumer like? Will they buy RBS before Zara or Zara before RBS, or is RBS not even so African that they feel like, actually it's something that's come from the other side? Because you know, Africans love to say, oh yeah, it's arrived from the ship, yeah, let's take. What is it with the Angolan consumer? How does it work? Are they consuming more foreign brands, or are they actually interested in spending their dollars and their kwanzas and whatever else they have to spend on African brands? Meaning, is your positioning as RBS African,
mm-hmm.
or is it Portuguese brand?
African.
Okay.
Angola brand.
But do they understand that, and do they buy it because it's Angolan, or do they just buy it because...
No, because it's looking good.
So it doesn't matter where it's from.
Good price, looking good.
So it doesn't matter where it's from.
Yeah.
As long as it's good,
yeah, no.
And good price.
Yes. It's important.
It's very nice. It's very good, Rui. So Rui, tell
me... You need to understand. You need to understand. What you want buying by you. You producing this... The people, my consumers, tell me, I want buy this. Okay, I producing for you. You understand me? It's easy. Only you need list. What do you want buy me? Only this is very simple. The problem with the businessman don't list.
Listen to
people.
The consumers.
Yes, because if you list, what do you want by me? You produce for your
customer. Yeah, but let me say something. So guys, while we're talking here with Rui, and Rui is actually saying that we are not listening to our clientele, and that's why it's getting hard. I want to throw that back at you. Do you know that production? I know it. So production, when you produce it in bigger numbers, is better business. When you produce for John, who wants green and I don't know yellow, when you had pink, that's just a new cost. How much of yourself do you push to that level? Because what's happening is, unless your other business is doing so well, then you have time to say, okay, John, you want pink flowers? Okay, here's your pink flower one. Who else? You want red? Okay, red. So I don't think that the business people are not listening. I think that it's just bad business. What do you think? Because if I was Ruth, if I will tell you, in my fashion business, if I was to say to produce, and I'm very I'm a small fashion business, and I'm a smaller brand, and I also like exclusivity, so I like to produce my stuff in only a certain amount of numbers. If I was to produce 15 of maybe the red jacket in the back or whatever, and somebody says they want pink and someone green, I'm sorry, you can take that one and go dye it, because I'm not at a stage where I can afford. It's not good business. It's just not good business.
Okay.
How does one manage?
If you have a model, don't sell well because the color, the size, I don't know.
It sells well, but John wants pink flowers always, and Peter.
Okay.
And Marco.
You need promote. You need promote these models.
Promote?
Yeah, promote.
Okay.
You need promote.
Okay.
These models. You put these models on, or you gave a celebrity, gave a singer, you promote it.
What if the singer is sleeping? She forgets to say she's wearing it. Then what do we do?
Because people say, these guys say, see these guys and buying after, you know? It's easy.
In Angola?
Yeah.
Okay, in Angola.
If you have a problem, sell something model, you need promoted this model. You need put, you need dressing, you need give a 2, 3, 4 whatever celebrity promote. This is you put this model stay after stay in the fashion first fashion model. Is you sell after you sell a lot this, you know?
So, but let me tell you, Rui, I want to go back to ask you another question. How do you, so I haven't seen you, well, maybe I just haven't seen you. How do you, because promotion is relative. Promotion is, anything can be promotion. You can be wearing you and walk into the red carpet and everybody wants it. You could be at a thing performing somewhere and everybody wants what you're wearing. You could be whatever. There's so many options. My thing is for you as RBS, the brand RBS, how do you guys, or what do you find is your best way when it comes to promoting your brand? Because it's not every way that works for every brand. You can do celebrity for you, as for mine, I don't know. For John's, I don't even know more. So what would you advise? No, what, first of all, what is RBS doing when it comes to promotion? Because what you're doing is not going to work for everyone, but it works for you.
Okay. We have a fashion show, my RBS fashion show all the years.
Once a year.
One for here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When you say here, you mean Portugal.
Another fashion shows. We have another fashion shows. Model Wanda, Angola Fashion Week, Benguela Fashion Week. We have a collaboration with TV. We give the clothes with the people who work there.
Sponsor.
Yeah, sponsor. Mm-hmm. I'm a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sponsor the show TVs.
Mm-hmm.
And films,
and
singers. We have a big promotion. We have a big promotion.
But it works
all the time.
But it works
time.
For you. It works.
Yes, all the time. If you have, this is, if you have need the promotion, the clothes, the men clothes, I put the photo, I dress. These clothes, I put the photo on Instagram or Facebook. It's more easy sell because people follow me.
So social media is also working for you guys.
Yes,
and I've seen that you're actually the one in your clothes. Is that your strategy? You put your mean face on and the good clothes on, and what, you just get sales.
Yeah,
it's very good. It's very impressive. Now, where do you see the future for African fashion in general?
I think we need to put the industry, more industries in Africa, because you're buying all clothes in Europe. You need work in industry. You need work in fabrics. We need producing fabrics, and after you need create more industries.
So because, you mean like the manufacturing side of
yes,
the, yeah.
Because in you see the Portugal have many factories sell for outside millions and millions and millions and millions euros manufacturing. Is in the fashion. This is a big industry. This is a big. Italy, Portugal, Spain sell a lot for another countries. And in Africa, we need more manufacturing. We need more fabrics. We need more fashion designers. We need more schools, fashion schools. Yeah. When you have this, it's possible. You produce, creating in Africa, producing in Africa, you sell in Africa.
Everything in Africa.
Yes. Yeah. It's more cheap, it's more quickly and
more sustainable.
Yes. Mm.
Guys, if you're listening, we're talking to Rui Silva, who's just featured the cover of Forbes as well, the Angola Forbes, and a very humble person, but very serious about his business, as you can see. And we're going to be kind of winding up because it is about that time. However, you know, you guys can always reach us on www.fashionlabafrica to just kind of follow up with more information about some of the brands that we are talking to. Now, Rui, what's your advice to the industry? So besides us knowing that, yes, we do need a real industry for us to be sustainable in Africa, from your manufacturing to your fabric to all of that, but in a bigger way, what is your advice to African brands who are still building, still hustling, and still not really seeing the results that they expect? It's a new year, obviously. It's a good time to be able to change the way that we do things. I always believe that new year is always time to reflect and to change a bit, try to do something a bit differently to get better results. What's your advice to the African fashion industry that's tuned in?
First time, you need the support, a political support. The political need understand this is a big industry.
When you say that, you mean the government or the politicians?
Yes,
or? Okay.
Yes, the government.
Okay.
You need understand this is a big. Is a public, a bigger possibility, the big business for the country. First time. After, you need the education. You need a lot of education. You need teaching. Fashion schools. You need more fashion schools. You need more. You need more fashion shows. And for a businessman, we need put money.
Mm. Investment. And I hope for those investors who are listening, yeah, please put your money. Please, enough of the. Bring it to the fashion, please. I wouldn't make that joke I was going to make just now.
Yeah, because this is a big business. Mm.
And like I said, Rui, last week we were talking to Sofia Villarino from Moda Africa. And we also agreed and we had conversations around what's happening and why. And the fact that this is a $1.5 trillion industry today and Africa only has a crumb. A crumb of $1.5 trillion.
Yeah.
That is just appalling. It's not funny. It's actually like, what? We need to shake up and think and see what can we do differently to get better results. Guys, I've been talking to Rui Silva. You can Google him. But actually, wait, Rui, can you just share with our listeners how they can connect with you? On social media, website, Facebook, whatever it is.
My Instagram, Rui Silva RBS. Rui Silva RBS. And my Facebook in Rui Silva on his one.
And Rui, normally when we start the show, I always ask our guests, what are you wearing and what's inspiring the look? What are you wearing today and what's inspiring your look, Mr. RBS? what's going on? I'll take a picture and we'll also take some short videos so our listeners can see.
I'm inspiring me because I create for me these my models, and I'm inspired. I don't know.
Why the cut up jeans? It's a cold day today, but it's like,
yeah,
you got this little. Okay, so share with them what you're wearing first.
Yeah,
what you're wearing.
I'm a blazer. Mm-hmm. I'm a t-shirt. I'm a jeans.
Cut up jeans.
Yeah.
And a pocket square, guys, in the middle of all of that, and then the boots.
Boots. Yeah.
Is that how you?
This is my style.
Okay.
In Portugal, because in Angola is a different, because the weather is a different.
Wow.
In Portugal, too cold.
It's very nice to have you on the show. Thank you so much. And for our listeners who are tuned in, peace and love. And I will run this back to Morag and let her finish up the show. Take care of yourselves and really think about your businesses. For those who are running businesses, think about what you want to do different this year, because until you change your ways, nothing's going to give. Peace and love.
Thank you, Liz and Rui. Once again, what an absolute inspiration, you know, that someone is making such a change on the African continent. Welcome to the show, Edgy.
Hi, Morag. How are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm good. Just been listening. Like, it's been such an amazing conversation with Rui.
Incredible. Edgy, before we go on with the show, I just want to know, what are you wearing?
I am wearing today a shawl collar cardigan over a pair of skinnies.
Nice.
I know you guys are good. You can't drag me out of my skinnies.
It's okay. I'm also wearing skinnies today. You won't believe it. Black ones with ripped knees. I mean, really.
Good. Yeah. I was just going to ask you.
And just, I'm just really simple today. I was on set this morning, so just keeping it easy. Then, you know, AJ, I just want to know, you know, you can obviously relate to Rui in quite a few ways. What are your thoughts on, you know, fast fashion in Africa?
I think Rio has just broken it down in the way that we've always wanted to break it down all the time, every time we have a show. Here, it's very, very simple. And what he's saying makes a lot of sense. So, but he had the luck of having Zara as his quality and styling skews. And what he did very smartly was say, okay, you like these styles. You like this quality, but the fit is not great, and customize the fit by listening to his customers, you know, just make sure the fit works for them. And once he has achieved that and they were happy, he just, because you make money once you start to scale. I know Liz was saying, well, if you just do it for this guy, I mean, how many of those guys are there? But I think the assumption there is, if there's one guy that likes this thing, there'll be a lot of those kinds of guys. So if you can satisfy that bunch of guys, you're able to scale, actually.
Yes.
So he has really been very, 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 very smart, you know. And fast fashion is what makes money. And 100%. I think that, yeah, if investors can come in, what Africa needs is, you know, like he said, and like we've always said, it's like just capacity in production. You know, I know we have design capacity. We need to have more design capacity, have more schools, have more people doing what we're trying to do, enlighten designers and enlighten people. But once you have quality production, though, you know, then fashion can really make huge contributions to the economy. It can make jobs. Sometimes governments don't even, or the investors in a particular country in Africa don't even think fashion is, I mean, it's a major job creator. It's a major money maker for both the people and the government through taxes. So he does, I think, if we listen to him, he has laid it out there how we can be in fast fashion, you know, try to customize items to the market that we are, localize your style, not localizing your styling, but localize your fit so that it's good enough for the market.
Yes.
And then promote it, seek endorsements, work with, you know, all those different promotions that he listed, you know, fashion shows, you know, endorsements, sponsorships, and sponsorships are huge. That means like a fashion store would say, I would sponsor an event in the community. That is like, it's huge for the community.
Yes,
that's contribution to the community already, you know.
And so, you know, what's also so simple, Edgy, is that he's really, it's just so simple, actually, is that he's really just listened to what the consumer wants. And I feel like, you know, we've spoken about it a million times on the show, that in Africa, everyone just wants to be like one another. And it's really so simple to just go on your own thing and, you know, believe in what you do and find the gap in the market.
I think that's the word, like find the gap. And that's exactly what he did, you know? Yeah. No, I think it's a very powerful conversation, especially the just making people know that if Africa can't produce, if Africa can increase production capacity, quality, you know, fabrics, all of these things, they add up to like a lot of advantages for African economies.
Yeah. AJ, I'm sorry to cut you short. I'm just going to roll up into my segment, Glam Up.
Yes.
We're just running out of time. So because I'm dedicating this Glam Up to the men out there, Lipstick Color of the Week is actually going to be a beautiful lip balm that I got as a gift from my assistant, Alana. And it's actually the Anique lip balm that contains rooibos extract, cocoa butter, and vitamin E oil. And it's so cute. It's like in a little eggy shape. And it's just so, you know, beautifully nourishing on your lips. And I really think that every man should always carry a lip balm in his back pocket all year round. And remember to use it, guys. Don't just carry it. You need to actually apply it, you know. You know, I've been more aware of people in general, especially men, purely because I've recently been style consulting a male client for a new reality TV series. And it's so much fun. I actually can't believe how much I've missed styling. But through all of this, I've noticed how many just get it wrong, you know. Redwan Sitter from Fazaka Tour says, a lot of men are taking abstract tips from too many sources. So like your fashion weeks, TVs, magazines, etc. And they're trying to mimic trends directly off the runway that are not, you know, that they're not necessarily comfortable with, and they forget the KISS rule. Now, I've tweeted about it this morning, and the KISS rule is really keep it simple, stupid. You know, I had such a good chuckle when Redwan sent that to me, and I said to him, that's going to be my opening line. But at the end of the day, it's all about finding your own unique sense of style. Sure, you know, go ahead, follow trends, but also customize it to make it your own. And I do feel inclined to say that street style and everyday wear is really moving into like a more sophisticated comfort than anything else. We're seeing it. Edgy, you shared some links with me in the week with the Men's New York Fashion Week. I mean, how amazing. You know, and once again, a reminder, just create your own style using influencing pieces. I asked more men in my circles sort of what freaks them out about other men, and the following items came up, and that's shapeless leather jackets, those Nike or Adidas, you know, those typical slip-on sandals, three-quarter cargo pants, and please wear tees that actually fit you. Plaid pattern shirts are done with, they're dead, and so is the oversized hospice shop, you know, all that hipster stuff. I mean, out, it's done. If you're a man that's got any of these in your wardrobe, you're in big trouble, you know. And I had such a great time reading all of these, you know, the WhatsApp messages that I was getting through. And I must say that men are a lot more judgmental than what I expected. So here it goes, you know, together with some of my thoughts. Men, top knots need to go. They're dead. Chop them off, bury them. Instead, opt for something more on trend. And I say this knowing that having these high maintenance cuts in style, you know, they look great for the first 3 days, and then men forget that they actually have a hairstyle. So if you're going to have a specific style, weekly maintenance is key. Going to a barbershop is a great way to save money. And then obviously for a touch-up professional cut, you can go to your stylist once a month. Also, please, I've spoken about this before, men, trim the facial hedge. Okay, and that starts with the eyebrows. We've spoken about this. I feel that men have just forgotten that they also need to trim and shape, you know, and color their eyebrows if they need to. Unless they're inspired by Frida Kahlo, please remove the monobrow. Trim the nose hairs, ear hairs, also beards. I feel like we're in a new year, we're in a new season. They need to go, okay? If it's something that you're really into, you know, having a beard, etc., I just feel that you should really just get the correct grooming products. You know, watch a few YouTube tutorials on beard grooming. And once again, maintenance is key. It's all really, you know, home DIY. And it really just sort of forms a part of creating your great image. So please don't let yourself go. You're not casting for an audition for Castaway 2, men. And then teeth whitening, don't think that it's something that just women get or something that I just get done. You know, go for a second opinion and actually just get it done. It freshens you up. It gives you an instant spruce up, and really just pure dental hygiene. Keep it clean and fresh always, says a friend of mine, Christopher Jafter. Also, men, pedicures. Listen, I get the mentality, you know, of men saying, oh, we don't need pedicures, I'm a man, you know. But then keep your feet hidden. We don't want to see it, okay? I tell you now that many men just don't take care of their feet. I literally saw a man in the mall the other day, and his toenails were so long, he could literally climb a tree upside down. It was so disgusting. A friend of mine, Mario De Jesus, suggests that if you're not willing to go to a salon, simple products like a foot file and a clipper once a week, and heel balm daily. It's quick and easy, and it also keeps you from being a sheet ripper. facial and skincare. So, you know, we've spoken about skincare a million times. I cannot emphasize it more. If you're generally just not interested, go to the grocery store, get yourself some coconut oil, use it for everything, to shave with, moisturize, and also for the razor bumps, just in general, you know, small spots that you get on your face. You can get yourself some Accutane, just 10 tablets a month, just to maintain a radiant skin. And I also feel that men's hormones are a little bit all over the place, you know, due to female hormones in water, in the chicken, everything, you know, food that we're eating, everything. And then lastly, Alessandro Bergman, the director of Sync Models, says that you have to strut with a purpose. No matter what you're wearing, have a presence. The walk is everything. Together with my man, they both agree that if a man must have one thing, it's a strong scent that complements you, and it should have a timeless, fresh smell with a hint of exotic spice. Men, I hope that I've given you some inspiration and some tips. You can follow me on all social media platforms at Morag Stain. I will post more information and some really more funny tips that I obviously couldn't share on radio on my Glam Up blog. And now for the favorite part of the show and that big glass of wine, who would you want to dress and why? Edgy, I'm going to go over to you first.
I'm going to dedicate this one to you because I think, well, I moisturize, I exfoliate, but I think I need a cream.
Okay.
So, yes. And for scents, I just found a nice new scent that I really love.
Okay.
It's Dior Sauvage. I think I recommend it. It's really awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. So.
Thanks, Eiji.
I'm going to trim.
My name is Rui Silva. Today I want to address Donald Trump because I don't like the look. Your look is not good look. The tie is so big, so big, so big. Bye.
Guys, that wasn't me, but that's the truth. That's his truth. I today want to dress a Portuguese actress and model. Her name is Rita Pereira. And she looks so sassy and so foxy. And I want to give her some of that Lizzo touch. Anyway, that's it for now. Peace and love.
And then back into the studio in Johannesburg, I want to dress Ruby Rose. For those who know me, you'll know that she's my woman crush. And purely just because she has such a versatile but specific style. And yeah, she's really just one of the most beautiful women on earth. Please keep your tweets coming in at fashionlab.af. Edgy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Morag.
And once again, thank you. And once again, thank you to Ray and Liz in Portugal. And yeah, just, you know, we were all around the globe today. Gosh, Joburg, New York, Portugal, wonderful. And that's all from us today from the Fashion Lab team, sending love around the world. Peace.
Fashion Lab on cliffcentral.com. Cliffcentral.com.